Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. What a wonderful and beautiful day the Lord's given us. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, man. Just want to lift up the Lord. Just want to praise Him. Just want to shout. Because God is so great. God is so great. If you have a prayer request this evening, just show by the raising of your hand. Yes, yes. Brother Chris, would you lead us in opening prayer? Yes, Lord.
What we ask right now is you just have your way in the spirit, Father God, that you can see that you need, Father God, to put this in my spirit. We thank you in advance for what you're doing. We pray for the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 345. Where could I go? Praise God. Where could we go but to the Lord, right?
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Strike.
it to the Lord. You may be seated if you can. You know, as we were singing, we haven't sang it in a while, and going over the words again, and I just thank the Lord for always showing me and enlightening me on so many things. But as, you know, so many times I've been in situations where I know folks have said to me, I don't know what to do. And these songs that we let the Lord just place in our hearts and in our mind as His Word is so strong and everlasting. And I thank the Lord for bringing back that Scripture when we need to know it or have someone that He can just place in our path to give us that uplifting Word and give Himself, give God all the glory and let Him just speak to us. Praise God, praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. Got a couple of quick announcements. Don't forget next Sunday night, the 12th, it'll be normal time at 6 p.m. We're having our multi-church ministry session that we're going to have. It's going to be a great time with the Lord, and it's also for a special cause, not only for us to gather together and just worship the Lord together and be in, just have the house packed out with people we're praying for, but we're also going to be taking up a special offering, and it's going to be going to the Shop with a Cop. So it's a wonderful thing to do this time of year. It's a special time, as I mentioned earlier, and just want to thank the Lord for that. I know Amazing Grace is right after service next Sunday. I can't even talk. See, Sister Brenda, if you have any questions, but they're going to Red Lobster, right? Praise God. And I know the play practice will be next week, and Miss Jennifer will give us all the updates. What you got for the people watching online that's not here tonight?
Right now, the play practice next Sunday is going to be all the speaking parts.
Okay.
Because the Saturday before we're going to practice, and the Sunday morning during Sunday school we're going to practice. And I think that's all that the others are going to need.
Cool.
That's it. So.
All right. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
That's correct. Only speaking parts and puppets.
I like that. Praise God. So much going on. So much going on. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And for those of you that didn't hear, that's next Saturday at 9:30 at Ashbrook. We'll be caroling. Y'all come and join us.
troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a
listened to Brother Eddie's message this morning, and he used the phrase a couple times that I never get tired of hearing, and I've heard a lot of people here lately that's been, what you say, struck with illnesses and different things, and you know, they all say this, you know, they may not know what tomorrow's going to bring, you know, and they don't give up. But they know who holds tomorrow. And Brother Eddie mentioned that twice today in his message, you know. And I think sometimes we forget that on a daily basis, you know. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how much we face, how we get down. And I'm guilty of it too, you know. And I, you know, my wife is really good because she reminds me a lot of times, you know, you got to get out of this slump and you got to look up. And sometimes it takes someone else telling you that. Well, you realize it. But remember, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but he does. All right? Listen to this song.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine or its sky. May turn to gray. I don't worry for the future, for I know what Jesus said.
Hey, brother, can we start it over?
Please, thank you.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for the sky may turn to gray. I don't worry for the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't see.
And I
God.
Darkest place that you ever found yourself in your life, Jesus was there with you. I worship. I haven't practiced this song, but it's just been on my mind all day. Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand and start to fall, all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. When this life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For the man who needs amazing kind of grace, for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. On the mountains, in the valleys, there was Jesus. In the shadows of the alley, Jesus. And the fire in the flood, there was Jesus. Always is and always was. No, I'll never walk alone. You were always there. You were always there.
Touched by the Master's. Aren't you glad that Jesus is always there? Amen. I remember the story years ago that when I was out in the yard playing and just a little bitty boy, my grandmother, Sister Bailey, told me, she said, "You don't have to worry. Jesus is always right behind you. Wherever you go, he's always right behind you." And I used to try to turn around and see if I could see him. And I remember swinging, Chris, one day I was swinging. I was looking to see if I could see his shadow. It took me several years to figure out what she was talking about. But I'm so glad that no matter where I go, wherever I travel on this earth, the Lord is always with me. Through the good times, through the bad, he's always there. Amen.
Steps would falter to why. look up to span, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. Strong but yet gentle. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Sing it, church. Well, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Sing, what a mighty God we serve. Well, what a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. One more time. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Give Him a hand clap of praise. Amen.
Hallelujah. He is a mighty God. Mighty in power and mighty good too. Amen. If you have your Bibles for just a little while tonight, go to the book of Hebrews. In the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, I'm going to bring a very familiar passage of Scripture. Share with us tonight what the Word of God says concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you love Jesus tonight? Amen. Do you love Him above all else? Praise God. Just couldn't make it without the Lord. Amen. Don't even want to try. Been there, done that. Amen. I do not want to return to a life without Christ. I'm so thankful that He loved us enough to give His life on Calvary that we might be saved. In the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, I want us to focus on verses 14, 15, and 16 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for another opportunity to gather together tonight to love You, to praise You, Lord. We're thankful for Your many blessings, the miracles that You perform, the testimonies of those miracles this morning, God, for Your healing power, for Your anointing power, and Your saving grace. Father, we ask You tonight to feed us of that heavenly manna. Pray, God, that You would just open up that window of heaven, pour out of Your anointing and Your Spirit upon this congregation tonight. Father, we do remember those who are sick. Many are suffering. Many are afflicted tonight. And Father, we pray that Your healing power would reach out to each and every need tonight. And Father, we look to You, giving You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. For a thought tonight, I just want to bring this topic: great in power, tender in mercy. Great in power, tender in mercy. Referring to Jesus Christ. Here we find the writings of the apostle, and he is basically talking prior to this about the Christian's rest and how that we have hope in glory and how that we have an eternal rest, not a natural rest like the body expects and has to have to survive, but he's talking about that spiritual rest that was made possible by Jesus Christ, who has allowed a place and went away and prepared a place that we may be with him forever into that eternal rest. And then he goes into this about Christ and exemplifying Christ, or paralleling him to the priest and the priestly duties that was done prior to Jesus Christ. If you would remember the Old Testament, there was always a place for the priest. You remember Aaron was the priest, and his sons were helping him doing the priestly duties, and there were certain things that only the priest could do. Priests could only go into the holiest of holies, and that carried forth when they built the temple as well until Jesus came. And then when Jesus came, you remember when he died on the cross of Calvary, there was a spectacular event. In fact, there were several, but one in particular happened in the temple. And that was when the veil was torn, the partition that was between man and God, symbolizing that no man could go unto that throne of grace except he went through the priest. But when Jesus died and gave up the ghost, rather, that veil was torn from the top to the bottom. You hear us saying that so many times. The reason that is significant is that no man tore that. The power of God rent that veil in two, opened up, and gave us access to the throne of grace. And we need to always remember and be thankful for that wonderful event, not only the shedding of Jesus' blood for salvation, but an open opportunity for us to come humbly before the Lord at any point and any time in our life. So the Apostle Paul here says, begins to tell the church here what a wonderful advantage and benefit it is, talking about this high priest. But I begin to think, as he compares this high priest, and if you'll look in verse or in chapter number 5, he begins to talk about the regular priest and how that he is offering up sacrifices for the sin of others, and he himself has to offer up or needs to offer up sacrifices for his own self because he is human. But the great high priest, the high priest that we have now, is the Son of God, amen. He came in his Father's name. He came with power, amen. And when he was on this earth, he used that power in a great number of ways. You know, we get caught up in the miracles of the Lord, and certainly there were many, and they were great and mighty, but they were only for about 3.5 years of Christ's life, of these miracles that he performed. And we often talk about the power to heal the blind. Many times the Lord touched blinded eyes and they were open. He was able to heal the lame. He was able to cure leprosy. He was able even to walk on the sea. He was able even to tell these experienced fishermen, you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. You need to cast your net on the other side of the boat. Having no pre-experience in fishing and all, but he had the power to know exactly where the fish was. We talk about his great power, and it was, and his power is still real today. Those of us who have been introduced and received the power of the Holy Ghost, we know what the power of the Lord is in our life. And he has promised us that I go away, and I'm not only going to send you a comforter, but I'm going to give you power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, great and mighty power to do the things, they even exceed the things that he did on this earth, not us and ourselves, but through the power of God. And how many has experienced at some point in your life the power of God and his anointing upon you? Nothing else can compare in this world to the greatness and the majestic power that the Lord has instilled within us. Many times, I don't think we take full advantage of that power, but it is given to us freely by the Lord Jesus Christ, instilling that power into us. And the apostle here also talks about not only does he have power, but this is what's so gracious and important and made such an impact on me. We have the ability to touch Jesus. That's what the apostle said. We know that Jesus touches us. Amen. If you've been living for the Lord many years, you know that his touch is wonderful. Nothing can compare to the touch of Jesus Christ. When you're down and out, just a touch from the Lord makes everything all right. When you can't get to a doctor and you're feeling sick and ill, just ask the Lord to touch you and heal your body. And just a touch from the Lord, amen, can make all the difference in the world. But here it says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling
of our infirmities. I want to talk about the ability and the benefit, first of all, of having the opportunity to touch Jesus. Not only is he great and mighty in power, but he is tender in mercy to make a way for us to come before him. Now, we don't and we can't go to the temple that is in Jerusalem. We can't go to the actual place where the veil was torn in twain. But we also know that we can go to Jesus anytime. Amen. How many knows that he's here tonight? And we have that access to come boldly before him with whatever need, whatever problem that we have. And he has the power to touch us, to heal us, to anoint us, to make a way, to open a door, whatever the case may be. But the really, really precious thing about this is that he knows and feels our infirmities. What a blessing that is to know. Our high priest is not off somewhere sitting on a high throne with when you have to make an appointment, amen, to see him. How many is thankful for that? That you don't have to dial up a number and wait on hold or line for anything. The Lord, as we sing, he's on the main line. Tell him what you want. He's right there available for us. And what a great and mighty God that he is. But he also, with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When we really get a hold of the fact that the Spirit of God was robed in flesh, Jesus being the Son of God, robed in flesh, we need to understand that with all of his majesty, with all of his greatness, with all of his deity, and with all of his power, yet he was still in a body of flesh. Now, the important thing about that is that that flesh knew pain. That flesh knew the temptations of the world. In fact, Satan was on him right away when he began to go into the wilderness after he was baptized, and Satan began to tempt him just like he will tempt us. Just because we're filled with the baptism of the Spirit doesn't mean that we're off limits to Satan. He'll still come, and he'll still try to tempt us, and he'll still try to pull all of these delicacies of the world in front of us. But we need to understand and know, when we hear it all the time, greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. So we have that ability to overcome the world and overcome the lust of the world through the baptism of the Spirit of the Lord that he has instilled within us. But the wonderful thing to know here too is that Jesus walked in flesh. He felt the coolness of the air. He felt the heat of the sun. He was able to have pain. I often thought about being the son of a carpenter. I would imagine there were times when Jesus, just being a young boy, the Bible doesn't go into any great detail, but we know that young children, young boys around tools and all, if they're anything like Trey, they're going to try their best to try out every tool that's in the shed. And I've often thought that, you know, we think about Jesus and being the Son of God and our Savior and Lord, but if he happened to pick up his dad's hammer and happened to hit his finger, I mean, he knows that hurt him, even though that he was the Son of God. And the important fact to know there is that Jesus can identify with your pain. Not only can he heal you, but he can identify with those things that trouble you. And I thought about the compassionate part. We preach about the power, and rightly so. We thank God for the power. And certainly we should. We should be grateful for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power over sin, that he has already finished that task and his mission on the earth. But I want us to look into that compassionate side of Jesus. Here the apostle begins to share with the church that compassionate side and how that we can touch Jesus. And I thought about the many times that Jesus healed folks. And sometimes, you know, they would come to him, and sometimes he would see them and just heal them, as the case of the lepers. You know, they were telling him, don't come. But Jesus had compassion on them. And there was a time in the scripture, too, said when he came down off of the mountain, he looked there in the valley and had compassion on the multitude. And he just began to go through the crowd and begin to touch them and anoint them. And healing virtue came out of him. There were other times, examples in the Bible, where he was going on about his business and people touched him or touched the hem of his garment and they were made whole. But the apostle here is talking about touching the spiritual part of that high priest that we refer to as Jesus Christ. And he said, yet he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That being the biggest difference. Do you understand and do we know that Jesus Christ is the only one who could have qualified to be the sacrificial Lamb of God? You remember in the Old Testament, when there had to be blood atonement, when they had to roll the sins away, they couldn't pick up or pull the lamb that was lame or the lamb that was sickly. They had to get the very best of the harvest, the very best of the lamb, the very one that was without spot and without blemish, meaning that none, not just any lamb would do. And Jesus Christ is the only one. We've talked about it before. Moses, as good as he was and as faithful as he was, could not have qualified because of the sinful nature of himself. Even from the fall of Adam on down, it took Jesus Christ to be that sacrificial Lamb of God. Yet he was tempted just like we were. Many times if we were in our prayers, we say, Lord, you just don't understand. Yes, he does. He understands exactly the pain that you bear. He understands the problems and the situations that we grow through. He understands the seriousness. And not only that, he understands and is concerned about the things that concern us. And I believe sometimes we don't fully realize the compassionate side of Jesus Christ. If, in fact, you've ever had a time in your life where you just thought that you just needed a friend. Just needed a friend. You know, sometimes we really can't convey what's going on in our life for whatever reason. Sometimes it's maybe too hard to share with somebody. Maybe sometimes it's too personal. Maybe sometimes we're embarrassed because it even troubles us because we've been living for the Lord a long time, and sometimes we think we're not supposed to be burdened down or we're not supposed to have these issues or troubles or trials. But I will assure you that you have an open invitation and you have access to go to the throne of grace. And not only will you find power, amen, to relieve you or power to heal you or power to open up a door, but you'll find a compassionate Christ, a loving Christ, and one who is tender in mercy. There is no one more tender than Jesus Christ. No one more willing to forgive. No one more qualified, amen, to wash away the sins of man than the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God. So it says in verse number 16, let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. We don't have to sneak in. We don't have to come in with our head drooped down, feeling embarrassed and sorrowful, but we can come boldly before the throne of grace. That is an open invitation that we have. And you think about somebody in that power or that seat of power and how great it is. Almost anybody who has any power or any authority in this world, you have to have an invitation or an appointment to be able to get to see them. Imagine if you wanted to go and have a seat with the governor of Georgia or the president of the United States, or even the president of your company. I know many of them say, oh, we have an open door policy. Well, sometimes that open door is closed, and you can't get in, and the receptionist will tell you, you'll have to call back, or you'll have to make an appointment at a certain time. I, for one, am so grateful that that's not the case with Jesus, because sometimes in the midnight hour, when there's nobody else around, I can go boldly to the throne of grace. Brother Chris, I can find him exactly any time that I need him. As the song was, Sister Jennifer was singing, there was Jesus in my emergencies, in my situations. And not only can he heal me, not only can he touch me and make a way, but he's concerned about what concerns me. And I want the church, I want us as Christians, I want us as brothers and sisters in Christ to realize that we have a Savior, yes, that is powerful. He is wonderful. He's majestic. It's just beyond our ability to even comprehend the vastness of his power. But yet don't ever think that he's so powerful or so authoritative that he doesn't have time for you. He doesn't have time to share or for you to share whatever's burden you or problem with you. You know, as parents, we often tell our children, it doesn't matter how big or how small, I want you to always be able to come to me or your mother and talk about it. And that's an open invitation. And sometimes we even are a little bit hesitant about doing that, especially if it's a little thing. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest situations, the biggest issues with Christians is because we think it's too small to take to the Lord. we think we can work it out ourselves. And what happens is it gets bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden it becomes a burden, and then that burden becomes a hindrance, and that a hindrance becomes an obstacle, and sooner or later that thing has gotten so big, and we have to take it to the Lord. But I wanted to let us know that we serve a not only a powerful God, but a merciful God and a wonderful Savior. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So to sum this up, if in fact Jesus had a business card, it would not be healing only. And I'm so concerned that a lot of people only use him for healing only. Certainly, I don't discount the fact of healing. That is a great benefit that the Lord Jesus Christ, because he says, with his stripes, we are healed. Now, with faith, believing, the healing's already been paid for. Amen. If we just accept it and apply it to our life through faith, the Lord is going to heal us. But on that card, if you would, if there was a business card that Jesus handed out, and really this would be his business card because he's all of that and much, much more, it would also have right for whatever's wrong in your life. In fact, there's a song that says Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. And I don't want us to be hesitant. I don't want us to be feeling bad that there's something bothering us or an issue that we can't take it to the Lord. Something that you might not could talk about with your pastor, something you might not could talk about with your spouse, something that you might not even want to talk about with a brother or sister. But knowing that the Lord understands, he is a forgiving God. Thank God he's a God of second chances. Amen. I'm so wonderfully thankful for that. But he has an open door policy too, and I want us to take advantage of that, whatever the situation is. You know, this is not the only place that you can get in touch with the Lord. How many is thankful for that? It's as good a place as any. And the reason it's as good a place as any, it's been anointed and prayed for. This is an altar, a place of contact, amen, that we can come. But not only that, you got brothers and sisters that will pray with you. But you also know that wherever you are, in whatever situation arises in your life, don't forget you have that, what do they call it, a carte blanche or whatever. You have that ability to get to the altar and to get to the throne of grace anytime, anywhere, about anything. Are you thankful for that? Do you love the Lord for that? I know this is really short tonight, but this has been on my heart to really convey to the church that to take advantage of this wonderful benefit that we have. Not just call on Jesus just when we need a powerful act in our life, but when we just need a friend to talk to. What is that song? What a friend we have in Jesus. And he'll always be attentive, and he'll always be available, and he will always be concerned about whatever is concerning in your life. Amen. Well, if you love the Lord, give him a hand clap of praise. I'm not going to keep you any longer than that. Sometimes the shortest messages are remembered the most. But read that particular chapter and know that you have that open invitation. And never, ever, ever forget the great price that was paid when Jesus gave his life and that veil was torn. Amen. Because prior to that, that's as far as we could go. Aren't you glad we can go right on past that veil today, right into the holiest of holies? Would you stand? Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe there is something that you need to take it to the Lord tonight. This is a prime and wonderful opportunity to do so. As his scripture has told us and let us know, that you can come boldly before the throne of grace, boldly for help, for situations in your life, whatever the case may be. Is there one tonight? Some of you elders gather around as we pray for this sister.
God on behalf of Sister Sherry, right? Lord, Sister Linda's daughter, she's in great pain, God. But Lord, you're a healer of the body. Father, we pray right now that you would touch, that you would speak healing to her body. Make her whole right now, God. Strengthen her through the faith of Sister Linda. Through the power, the authority, in the name of Jesus, right now. Speak healing, Lord. Let her be made whole right now.
Every moment where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus on the mountains, in the valleys. There was Jesus in the shadows of the alleys. There was Jesus in the fire.
Church for these other churches that come, please make a really great effort to attend and be a part of this. It's for a worthy cause. Two, I just kind of feel like this is going to be a wonderful time of praise and worship when you get a bunch of people together glorifying, praising God. And if you like good singing, there'll be worship, and just have a wonderful time. May God bless you. Have a good, wonderful week. And remember, you have an open invitation for whatever's wrong, whatever issue is in your life. Brother Jim, would you come?
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Be in much prayer, too, for all the activities and for that special service next Sunday night. And as we talked earlier, all the other announcements. But all hearts and minds clear. There are those that aren't able to be with us tonight, whether it be for sickness or travel, work, whatever the situation is. Let's continue to pray for them too. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just praise your name, dear Lord, for your mercy and your grace, dear Lord. Dear Lord, for your love for us, dear Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, dear Lord. Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, I ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, my Lord. And Lord, we're just going to give you all the honor and glory. Your most precious name, in the name of Jesus, and we all say, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.